Welcome to Front Pages for Monday, December 5th, 2022. I'm Lou Miranda, and I'll be reading the front pages of the Hartford Courant and the New York Times. We're going to take a look at the photos on the front pages of the Hartford Courant first. Working in his operating theater in West Hartford, his name is Dr. Riaz Asari, and he's part of the Rochlitz and Asari Dental Surgeons in West Hartford. His assistant in the picture is Yasimna Morales, and they're using a Yomi dental robot technology to insert a dental implant into a woman's lower jaw. And we will have an article on that. And then the second picture of that group is the woman who's having the dental implant sitting in the chair after the surgery. And the last picture of the day is voters casting ballots outside election locations in East Point, Georgia. The final push for the Georgia recount election between Walker and Warnock is timing out now. The deadline is 8 p.m. on Tuesday, and right now they have early voting going on, and it's very active. But we'll go to our first story. OPEC Plus leaving output alone amid uncertainty, by Dave McHugh of the Associated Press. The Saudi-led OPEC cartel and its allies, including Russia, did not change their targets for shipping oil to the global economy amid uncertainty about the impact of new Western sanctions against Russia that could take significant amounts of oil off the market. The decision at a meeting of oil ministers Sunday comes a day ahead of the planned start of two measures aimed at hitting Russia's oil earnings in response to an invasion of Ukraine. Those are a European Union boycott of most Russian oil and a price cap of $60 per barrel on Russian exports imposed by the EU and the Group of Seven democracies. It is not yet clear how much Russian oil the two sanctioned measures could take off the global market, which could tighten supply and drive up prices. The world's number two oil producer has been able to reroute most, but not all, of its former European shipments to customers in China, India, and Turkey. The impact of the price cap is also up in the air because Russia has said it could simply halt deliveries to countries that observe the limit. But analysts say the country would likely also find ways to evade the cap for some shipments. On the other side, oil has been trading at lower prices on fears that coronavirus outbreaks and China's zero COVID restrictions would reduce demand for oil in one of the world's major economies. Concerns about recessions in the U.S. and Europe also raise prospect of lower demand for gasoline and other fuel made from crude. The uncertainty is the reason the group, known as OPEC Plus, gave in October for a slashing production by 2 million barrels per day, or about 2% of the global oil production, starting in November, a cut that remains in effect. Analysts say that took less than the full amount off the market because OPEC Plus members already can't meet their full production quotas. An OPEC statement Sunday pushed back against criticism of that October decision in view of the recent weaknesses in oil prices, saying the cut had been recognized in retrospect by the market participants to have been the necessary and the right course of action towards stabilizing global oil markets. The White House, which has pressed for more oil supply to keep gasoline costs down for the U.S. drivers, at the time called the cuts short-sighted and said that the alliance was aligning with Russia. Because oil is ordered several weeks in advance, the production trims announced in October only begin working through the market in the past few weeks. If Russia ends up taking off more oil than about 1 million barrels per day, then the world becomes short on oil, and there would need to be an offset somewhere, whether that's from OPEC or not. That's going to be the key factor, is to figure out how much Russian oil is really leaving the market. The OPEC Plus statement said its next meeting for June 4th, but said the coalition could meet at any time to address market developments. AAA. Our next story is titled, Fear of Normalizing Anti-Semitism, by Michael Klutzman. A surge of anti-Jewish vitriol spread by famous rapper, an NBA star, and other prominent people is stoking concerns that public figures are normalizing hate and ramping up the risk of violence in a country already experiencing a sharp increase in anti-Semitism. Leaders of the Jewish community in the U.S. and extremism experts have been alarmed to see celebrities with massive followings spew anti-Semitic tropes in a way that has been taboo for years. Some said it harkens back to the darker time in America when powerful people routinely spread conspiracy theories about Jews with impunity. Former President Trump hosted a Holocaust-denying white supremacist at Mar-a-Lago. The rapper Ye, formerly known as Kanye West, expressed love for Adolf Hitler in an interview. And basketball star Kyrie Irving appeared to promote an anti-Semitic film on social media. Neo-Nazi trolls are clamoring to return to Twitter as new CEO Elon Musk grants amnesty to suspended accounts. These are not fringe outliers sending emails from their parents' garage or idiots no one has ever heard of. When influential mainstream cultural, political, and even sports icons normalize hate speech, everyone needs to be very concerned, said Miami Beach Mayor Dan Gelbert, a leader in the South Florida Jewish community. Northwestern University history professor Peter Hayes, who specializes in Nazi Germany and the Holocaust, said normalizing anti-Semitism is a real possibility when there is a public discussion of things that used to be beneath contempt. I'm very concerned about it, Hayes said. It's one of the many ways in which America has to get a grip and stop toying with concepts and ideas that are potentially murderous. Trump hosted Ye and Holocaust denier Nick Fuentes for dinner November 22nd at his home in Florida. Fuentes was a Boston University student when he attended a white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, that erupted in violence in 2017. He became an internet personality who used his platform to spread white supremacist and anti-Semitic views. Fuentes leads a far-right extremist movement called America First, with supporters known as Goypers. Last week, Fuentes joined Ye in appearing on the InfoWars show hosted by conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. Ye praised Hitler during the interview, ratcheting up the rhetoric that already cost him a lucrative business with Adidas. Jonathan Greenblatt, national director and CEO of the Anti-Defamation League, said it is astounding and alarming that two of the nation's leading purveyors of anti-Semitism were breaking bread with the erstwhile head of the GOP. I would normalize this as the normalization of anti-Semitism. It has now become part of the political process in a way we hadn't seen before, Greenblatt said. And that is not unique to Republicans. It is not just a Republican Party. It is a societal problem. Most of Americans knew it was beyond the pale when torch-toting white supremacists marched through the University of Virginia's campus on the eve of August 17 in 2017, said Amy Splitnack, executive director of Integrity First, a group that backed a lawsuit against organizers of the event in Charlottesville. But some of Ye's status to praise Nazis and Hitler is escalating from ugliness to a kind of incitement, Greenblatt said. He noticed that Jewish institutions already have to beef up security to protect against attacks such as the one in which a gunman killed 11 people at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh in October 2018. Our community still has to brace for the consequences of those ideas going mainstream. Our next story is titled, Blinken, U.S.-Israel Ties Strong Despite Strife with Netanyahu, by Matthew Lee. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Sunday that the U.S. will not shrink from its unwavering support for Israel despite stark differences with Prime Minister-elect Benjamin Netanyahu and concerns that the Biden administration may have about potential members of his incoming right-wing government. Speaking to a left-leaning group that some of the right accuse of being too sympathetic to the Palestinians in Iran, Blinken said the United States will remain a stalwart friend of Israel, even as it pursues goals that Netanyahu has opposed, including a two-state resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and a restoration of the languishing 2015 Iran nuclear deal. The U.S.-Israeli partnership and all that it's produced for the people of our nations and the world has always been underwritten by the United States' ironclad commitment to Israel's security, a commitment that has never been stronger than it is today, he said. Blinken said the Biden administration would engage with Netanyahu's government based on its policies and not on personalities, including potential senior cabinet ministers who have expressed anti-Palestinian and anti-Arab views in the past. But Blinken also warned that the U.S. would object to policies that marginalize the Palestinians, that diminish their horizon for hope, or make a two-state resolution more difficult. He said those would be detrimental to Israel's long-term security or future as a Jewish democratic state. We expect the new Israeli government to continue to work with us to advance our shared values, just as we have previous governments. We will gauge the government by the policies it produces, rather than the individual personalities. We will hold it to the mutual standards we have established in our relationship over the past seven decades, Blinken said. U.S. officials have previously expressed concerns about the possible problems in Netanyahu's government with at least two right-wing Israeli politicians, Itamar Ben-Gurion and Bezalel Smotrich. Ben-Gurion, a lawmaker known for his anti-Arab vitriol and provocative stunts, has been offered the job of National Security Minister, a powerful position that will put him in charge of Israel's police force. Meanwhile, Smotrich, leader of the Religious Zionism Party, which shares anti-Palestinian and anti-gay views, has been offered oversight over the Israeli Agency for Palestinian Civilian Affairs. Blinken said the Biden administration would speak honestly with the new Israeli government as well as the Palestinians, whose leaders, he said, must also refrain from raising tensions that endanger a two-state solution. Blinken's comments came at the annual conference of J Street, a pro-Israel group that has been distinguished itself for the much larger and older American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee by advancing positions often supported by the Democratic Party. Next story is titled, Status of Iran Morality Police Unclear After Closure Remark, by Jack Jeffrey. An Iranian lawmaker said Sunday that Iran's government is paying attention to the people's real demands, state media reported, a day after a top official suggested that the country's morality police, whose conduct helped trigger months of protests, have been shut down. The role of the morality police, which enforces veiling laws, came under scrutiny after a detainee, Mahsa Amini, 22, died in their custody in mid-September. Amini had been held for allegedly violating the Islamic Republic's strict dress codes. Her death unleashed a wave of unrest that has grown into calls for the downfall of Iran's clerical rulers. Iran's chief prosecutor, Mohammad Jafar Matazari, said Saturday that the morality police had been closed and the semi-official news agency ISNA reported. The agency did not provide details and state media hasn't reported such a purported decision. Saturday's announcement could signal an attempt to appease the public and find a way to end the protests in which, according to rights groups, at least 470 people were killed. More than 18,000 people have been arrested in the protests and the violent security force crackdown that followed, according to human rights activists in Iran, a group monitoring the demonstrations. Ali Afane, a senior fellow at the Arab Gulf States Institute of Washington, said Matazari's statement about closing the morality police could be an attempt to pacify domestic unrest without making real concessions to protesters. The secular media loathes the organization morality police for restricting personal freedoms. On the other hand, the underprivileged and socially conservative class resents how they conveniently keep away from enforcing the hijab legislation in wealthier areas of Iran's cities. When asked about the Montazari statement, Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amiradoulian gave no direct answer. Be sure that in Iran, within the framework of democracy and freedom, which very clearly exists in Iran, everything is going to be very well, he said, speaking during a visit to Belgrade, Serbia. The next story is titled, Officials Pan Trump's Call to Suspend Constitution Over 2020 Election Lie, by Hope Yen. Former President Donald Trump faced rebukes Sunday from officials in both parties after calling for the termination of parts of the Constitution over his lie that the 2020 election was stolen. Trump, who announced last month that he's running for president again, made the claim over this weekend on his Truth Social media platform. A massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution, he wrote. Our great founders did not want and would not condone false and fraudulent elections. Representative Mike Turner, Republican of Ohio, said he absolutely condemns the remark, saying they should be a factor as Republicans decide who should lead their party in 2024. I believe that people certainly are going to take into consideration a statement like this as they evaluate a candidate, he said. Representative-elect Mike Lawler, Republican New York, also objected to remarks. The Constitution is set for a reason to protect the rights of every American, he said. Trump's comments came after Twitter's new owner, Elon Musk, said he would reveal how Twitter engaged in free speech suppression leading up to the 2020 election. The White House on Saturday assailed Trump, saying, "You cannot only love America when you win."